Yes, it is. Just thank you, Father, for this time together again. Thank you, Lord God. Praise be to your holy name, Lord. We just praise you for all that you're doing. Father, place it in our hearts tonight to seek you in prayer and supplication. We thank you, Father, for opening up the gates for us. Because when we pray, Lord, we know we've got an open heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for having each and every one of us surrender to you, Father, in a mighty way of spirit, soul, and body, all of it. Surrender to you, Father. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Lord, for the work that you're going to do tonight in this fellowship, because you're going to be the one leading it, leading the whole thing. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I praise you, Father, for this mighty weapon that we do have called prayer. The most powerful weapon in the world, in the universe. And we have it at our disposal if we just believe and come together in unity, in one accord. Because when we come in one accord, the world is shaking through our prayers. The enemy shakes through our prayers. And Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for being with each and every one of us, giving us that battle gear out of Ephesians 6, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you lead us, you guide us, and speak through us, Lord, all that you would have us to know. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us, even as we speak. And I thank you, Lord, for the man-child anointing that's coming soon. We need that, Lord. We need that wisdom. We need that power. We need that anointing upon the man-child and the bride. And I thank you, Father, for all that will be done tonight in your name. Amen and amen. Okay, anybody got a prayer request? I do. Y'all remember a while back that I think I gave everybody a copy of it, the things that we needed to be praying about every day. Y'all remember that? It's been a few weeks back. But I'm going to pray that again tonight, and I ask if you still got that copy to get it back out and start praying it every day. It's something that it's a battle every day that we need to be in. And this is what it is. David said, the Lord impressed me that we need to start acting like we are in a war every day and night, and do defensive and offensive warfare against the enemy of the White Hats and ourselves. The White Hats, of course, is the alliance in the government. He said to ask Father and then send the angels to bring conviction to anyone of sin, so we have power in prayer. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we bind all demons working against us. We send the angels out to bind all demons working against us and to bring us intelligence on our enemies and destroy every invasion of our privacy through the phones, through the computers, through Zoom, through spies, through all of our communications, in Jesus' name. And we ask that the angels would stop all hindrances to getting truth out through the videos, books, and broadcasts. We bind the enemy from doing that in the name of Jesus right now. And we cast down all plots and schemes of the enemy to hinder the dreams, the visions, the words, and the ministry. In Jesus' name, we bind up all slander, lies, and evangelism of the enemy against the truth in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you reveal the sins of the enemy to one another through dreams and visions, etc., etc., and to stop all hindrances to the to this transference of money going forth to those who will use it wisely, and to hinder the enemies from partaking in any of it in Jesus' name, and to bind all sickness or infirmity or viruses from invading your people in the name of Jesus. And we bind all warfare against us through witchcraft, faction, rejection, fear of rejection, condemnation, fear, anger, unforgiveness, criticism, or any of that in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you reveal the sins of the deep state in both factions. That's the government factions and the church factions in Jesus' name. And to turn them against each other so that they reap what they sow and repent in the name of Jesus. And to cause to cease any distractions of a flesh-pleasing life to keep us from prayer and warfare. Lord, we just ask that you put it in each one of us to dedicate and to surrender our lives completely over to you, Father, so that when we pray, that we'll have every part of our being in that prayer that would allow the power, the full power of God to go forth and answer those prayers. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in all of us, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come against any kind of witchcraft or curses spoken against this fellowship in the name of Jesus. It's all cast down as null and void in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for keeping our lines of communications completely open when we do these fellowships. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your word. That's the sword that we use to smite the enemy with. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Be with us, Lord. Direct us. Speak through us, Lord, with words of knowledge against the enemy and love for your people. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer? Now, we're supposed to be talking about prayer tonight, and ain't nobody got a prayer. Come on now. Listen. Well, hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God, we're all prayed up. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Amen and amen. All right, Lana, go ahead, girl.
I just have a praise report. Gabriel is 2 weeks old today, and we took him to the pediatrician for a checkup like we're supposed to. And we had been in prayer that the Lord would have his hand over this visit and help tie up any loose ends so that we would not have to return. And praise the Lord, he answered our prayer. Gabriel is doing great. He has gained an entire pound and 5 ounces on top of his birth weight in 2 weeks. And the doctor says he looks great. He says there's no need for follow-up labs as requested by the big hospital where he stayed at. And there was no mention of any needs for further follow-up. And when the receptionist tried to get us to do some well child scheduling, we said, no, thanks. We'll get back to you on that. And so we are just praising Father that this is all now a closed matter and Gabriel is home. He's safe. He's healthy. He's gotten the good report from the doctor, and we've already claimed that good report from the very beginning. So praise the Lord for his guidance, his protection, and just helping us endure in the trial.
Thank you, Father. Father. He's got a good set of lungs, too.
Yes.
You go, Gabriel. All right. Yeah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Father, for cutting loose from the pharmakia in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray for somebody that I've been talking with for the last few days. Lord, I lift up Will to you, William to you, from down there in Georgia. Lord, I ask that you give him a vision, a dream, or anything that would direct him. Give him a word of knowledge as he prays, Lord. Talk to him, speak to him, tell him what you want him to do. And in the same time, Lord, I ask that you show me as well. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for William. In the name of Jesus. And Father, when he goes down to Florida to pick up his car, Lord, that it would be no problem whatsoever, that he would get his car, go where you direct him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Word of God. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
It was about a week ago. My sister texted a bunch of us in the family about having a get together for a meal. And we usually stay with Kurt and Brooke when we come into town. But their brother and sister-in-law are going to be with them that weekend. So I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air about whether I want to go or not. I'm not even sure if the Lord wants us to go. And I'm not thrilled about the prospect of maybe staying with my parents. I don't even feel to ask them. Because it's just the sleeper sofa is horrible for one, but it's just my mom and dad are just I don't know what the Lord have. So Father, I just ask you to work out all the details. You just sovereignly arrange it. You work it out if we're supposed to go. And I know we had the idea of staying in a hotel, but it's kind of expensive. Merle doesn't want to pay as much as what it's going to possibly cost. And we don't want to stay real far away. So Lord, we just ask you to open the doors, close the doors, and direct us. And I will receive whatever you do, Lord. Lord, I do got to say, in the past year, I've been on the go a lot, between visiting family and going to Tennessee, and I'm just kind of tired. But Lord, I know that if you want us to go, you'll work that out, and you'll give me the strength and the energy and the gumption and the will to do, and with joy, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Give her some direction, Lord. Send them down here for a couple of weeks. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I was studying earlier today, and you know that right now around the world, people are complaining about their liberties and their freedoms, and it doesn't look good. You got some people over there in Paris and Australia doing stuff, and you know, I was reading from 1 John, and you know, I just found this out, you know, that they're doing this kind of stuff like in France Paris, France, they had a big march. There was some stuff in, I saw on videos from Melbourne, Australia, saw some stuff from Italy, you know, and other places, you know. It's about what's going on. People's liberties are, and freedoms are coming against that. So, you know, I wrote that down in my prayer pod, and I prayed about it when I found out a couple of days ago. And as I was reading today in 1 John, I read the first three chapters, and I came to the fourth chapter. And I started, of course, you know, that's where those words are, where it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they're of God. And, you know, the Lord was emphasizing spirits to me there. And I was coming down to the portions where it says love. And I don't know exactly which verse it was on, but the Lord arrested me on one of these verses. And he told me to go to the verse that's most quoted on UBM in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but the verse before that, the 17th verse, where it says, I believe it says there's something like, where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Now, these two different liberties. This is the Spirit of the Lord's liberty and man's liberty. And I always wondered, you know, like in the past, man has always wanted freedom and liberty. They fought about this in the Second World War. And in all the wars, people want to be liberated by someone, from something or someone, from some sort of tyranny and stuff. And that's not the freedom that, of course, the Lord is talking about, but to keep his people free. Sometimes he'll do these things because a man's mixed up in his freedom because he doesn't have the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. But this freedom is that spirit that you received in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, the first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. So there's the spirit. There's the presence of the spirit that gives you the freedom. And I was just debating with the Lord, and I was going, Lord, this love that you speak about here that binds us together, is it's the first fruit of the Spirit. And now you're collating freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is with this love. And I go, Lord, who is this that's coming against your Spirit? The move of your Spirit for your people. What is this that's coming against the freedom and of the Spirit that we have in accordance to the obedience that we want to give to you, in accordance to your word, not to get vaxxed, okay? And I'm going, Lord, this is coming against your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the move of the Holy Spirit, the move of God the Father's Holy Spirit, they're coming against. And I was going, this is crazy, Lord. Am I not thinking straight here or something? And I just go on thinking about it. And I was going, like, is this what's been happening all through history for the past 2,000 years? The darkness side, the darkness and wicked side has come against God's Spirit that he wants to move through us in? Have they come against the Almighty God, his Spirit? Have they come against the cross of Christ? The cross of Christ and what the God, the Father's plan is for the cross of Christ. They have come against the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the move of the Spirit. And when I was thinking about this and talking about to God, you know, I was fumbling. I made a lot of mistakes when you talk to God. I do this a lot. And I'm going, Lord, they just can't come against you. That's just wrong, you know? And who do they think they are? I'm trying to defend God, and he's making me realize that this has always been happening. This is happening, been happening with me, with all my little problems, you know? And I'm going, you know, you almost fumbled a ball and you go, oh, but Lord, they can't do that. You know, they come against your spirit. And I went for my walk after my study. And then after my study, I usually go to my prayer time. And then I had this conversation with the Lord about this, because this has been on my mind for most of the morning, you know. And then I went into a study on prayer. And of course, it was hard not to think of this prayer that I put out to the Lord, that that they come against the Father, they come against God's love for us. That love is in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. They're coming against this active spirit of God's love for us. We love because he first loved us. And now they try to say they have no offense here. And I'm not trying to say that our liberty is the same as the liberty of man. That's the spirit of man and the spirit of the world, okay? This is where the spirit of the Lord is liberty. You have liberty far above any kind of liberty that anyone has told you in America. As a matter of fact, here in Canada, we got more freedom laws than you do. But that's the wrong freedom. That there's no freedom in that. There's bondage in that. But they speak against God's freedom for us. And when I thought about this long enough, I received a wonderful rest from the Lord. I'm saying this is the rest, man. I'm sort of picturing God not being very happy with what's going on. Because they're coming against God. And that's the battle all the time. They've always come against God for us not to hear from him proper, for us not to receive his love. You know, where's the joy when, because that's the second fruit of the spirit. You're not going to get any joy when they come against the spirit of God. You're not going to have any peace. You know, God's spirit gives us this love, joy, peace, long suffering, and all the rest. So what is this that defies the hosts of heaven from God the Father now, which actually shows us that this is what we're coming to? You know, we're coming to a place where we're going to need a force field around us, like the Apostle John when he was put in his oil. And that's going to take, that's the cleft of the rock right there. That's going to take us to the end. I'm not saying I'm there already. I'm saying we're going to need a force field. Like I remember reading that not too long ago, a couple of years back, but they saw a light come around the Apostle John as they were lowering him into this boiling oil. In the Colosseum, some Colosseum, I don't know, they had a bunch of them. And there's his ark. It's a force field, a shield around the Apostle John. They put him on an island after that, a Greek island, to write Revelation. And to have the dream and vision of Revelation. This is the more I think of it, the more I have to watch how I'm going to just make my supplication to the Lord, you know. I felt like a little kid, basically, when I was talking to him. I was going, Lord, how can this be? You know, and then I think of my little problem that I have, and I'm going, but Lord, if this freedom for your spirit, which you gave me, for whom the Lord has set free is free indeed, the truth is going to set you free. For freedom ye were set free. This is the freedom of that spirit, for where the spirit of the Lord is freedom. It's not about what these people are doing, going out there and making riots and stuff like this. That's a different spirit. But this spirit we have is the spirit of the living God. He shared his glory with us. It's a lamp within us. It's a light in us to shine. The very spirit, holy and anointed spirit. It's the central light of that menorah candle that's inside of you. And it fills the others. And they're all spirit too, even though some of them are knowledge and wisdom and fear of the Lord and strength of the Lord. These are seven spirits, as it says in the first page of Revelation. And these seven spirits is the glory and light of God that he shares with us through the Holy Spirit. And I, you know, I'm overly zealous on this. I have to be careful. I have to show sincerity. There's the earnest to this spirit. You know, it's serious. It's intense. It's not playful and it's a spirit of deeply convinced, zealous and sincere. This zeal, this earnest of the spirit. I remember trying to find out a verse for that term, earnest of the spirit. It's written in a few places. And then I went, you know, the Lord said, hey man, you just got it now again, Andrew. It's the love. It's the fruit of the spirit. It's the spirit that gives you freedom even to speak to me. And of course, you know, you're very humbled when you go to the Lord. So I'm just saying that if you guys can't find a prayer in that, because I already prayed about it, that these items that have come against God's people who are supposed to be filled with the Spirit, is a direct interference with God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the cross of Christ, the plan of Jesus, why we don't get vaxxed. You know, he took care of your sins. It's the most quoted verse for righteousness. For he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And it's also what it says there in Matthew. You know, it's himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Witness from Matthew. Jesus did it and witnessed it. And he did it at his cross. And it was prophesied 700 years before by the prophet Isaiah to prove it. So you got four witnesses there. And this is the spirit of God's function. You know, the people sought freedom. They sought, man seeks freedom. When Babylon ruled, they sought freedom and Medo-Persia took over. But they didn't get the freedom. And then the next one, Alexander and the Greek and the Macedonians came. And then the Romans came. And today, for the past 2,000 years since the cross and resurrection of Christ, man has sought a freedom, but they're not going to have it because that freedom is in the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. And this liberty is followed by that very verse, but we all with an unveiled face behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. It's progressive. Salvation is too. Faith is too. And grace is also. Glory to God. And I just pray, Lord, that this that would come against all the hosts of heaven that would come against all your kingdom. We've been told word that that's it. You know, it's time for this to be disclosed. What's it called there? The disclosure to happen, and that the Spirit of God move, and because the Spirit of God is God the Almighty, the Father, and Lord, we just come to you and we just thank you for what you've shown us. We thank you for what you're about to do. We thank you for. I thank you, Lord, for some of the word you gave me that would make us go all the way through to the end. Just a brief, small word, you know, of a light shield force that John had that would take a person to the end. And Lord, I don't know a lot. I need to just to stand in this peace that you showed to me today. Because they're coming against the kingdom of heaven, which includes all of us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the hosts of the angels that have kept their habitation, and all the souls that he has called, the new souls he has called, and every other soul that goes to whatever maturity they have. And we thank you for this, Father, that you are going to do what needs to be done. And thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That was good. All right. Anybody got any comments or want to pray? Or yes, Marilyn, go ahead.
Okay. It kind of goes along a little bit with what Andrew was saying. Lord gave me a real intense dream night before last where he really let me feel the anguish of people that are in really dire straits, just terrible straits, and don't know where, you know, how to get out and don't know what to do. And, you know, to cut to the chase, I was stranded somewhere, didn't have a phone, didn't have any ID, was at the wrong airport, and I was trying to get home to Barry, and I didn't have any way to get in touch with him. I think that's just symbolic of, you know, people don't know how to pray. They don't know, they don't know how to communicate with the Lord and not have any ID. They don't know their identity in Christ. And so I was very, very distressed in the dream. And finally, I just prayed, Father, please send someone to help me. And when I did, I saw this security guard. He had really short, straight, golden hair. And I went and talked to him and explained my situation. And he said, I know somebody that can help you. And I think the security guard was Jesus, but I think the help was, he wants us to be praying for these people. There are people out there that, in any way, Father, I just want to do that. I believe, Father, that there's a multitude out there that you desire to bring into the kingdom. And Father, they're getting to the end of themselves. And they don't know where to turn. They don't know how to, they're at the end of their rope. They don't know how to pray. They don't know the word. And Father, we've been there. We were all there at one point. And Father, I just, your word says in Isaiah that when the judgments are in the land, the inhabitants learn righteousness. And you have always, through the ages, Lord, allowed these times of great trial and tribulation for your people when they just became worldly, complacent, compromising, self-indulging, just living for self. And we've all been there, or at least I have. And you had mercy on me, Father. And Father, I pray for people that are in just terrible straits. We know some that are, you know, being threatened and coerced, intimidated about getting this vaccine, and their kids, you know, threatening that their kids have to be vaccinated, and they just don't know where to turn. And yet you're right there. You're right there. And so, Father, I pray an outpouring of the Spirit, because none can come to the Father except, Father, you draw them by your Spirit, and it's by your grace. But yet the only way they can come is through faith in the redeeming blood sacrifice of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that. And you are weak to the weak. You meet us in our darkest places. And even if somebody just calls out and says, Father, please help me. Father, if they are the elect, you will help them. Father, your word says we have not because we ask not. Father, we are asking. We are interceding for those that don't know how to pray. And yet, Lord, you have ordained them to come into the kingdom. So, Father, we are just, we bind up these forces of darkness that are hindering. And I don't truly understand this, except it's just the flesh and the people that have bowed down to the Satan as their king. I guess that's what hinders this outpouring of the Spirit. Father, I really don't know. But Father, you do. You see everything, and nothing is hidden from you. And I pray, Father, for mercy for the sake of the elect. I pray this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Father, we are all watching and waiting and looking above. Father, we are looking for this anointing of the man-child. It will certainly bless us, but Father, more than that, for the multitudes out there that are, as Jesus sees them, as he saw them 2,000 years ago, that they are scattered out there like sheep without a shepherd. And yet it said he sat down and he fed them. He delivered them. He healed them. He taught them. And Father, we are praising you and thanking you, Father, that you are sending this great gift to the earth. It is your gift. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a gift. And so, Father, we pray help to the hopeless. And Lord, that even tonight, you see every heart, you know everyone. You know everyone that this prayer is for, that you draw them and you help them. And Father, I just humbly thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Amen and amen. All right, anyone else? Now I'm going to ask a question. And don't give me the stock answer. What is prayer? Now, I know it's talking to God. Everybody knows it's talking to God. But what is prayer? In simple, simple terms, what is prayer?
What comes to my mind is communion, communing with Father.
Okay. Anybody else? I'll tell you what it is. Let me just go ahead and say what it is, okay? It's something you do. It's something you do. It's God's power made available to us, mankind. It's a force that we're supposed to be using every day. He says we have all the blessings of heaven made available to us. Are we even partaking of it? I suggest to you that we're just using a little small portion of it. He says one sends a thousand and two sends 10,000 to flight. Well, if two sends 10,000 to flight, when we come together, what you think we got out there that we can send to flight? What kind of a force do we have in this group of people, right, of believers? Let me just qualify that. This is a bunch of believers here. When we come together, we have the force, more force than any other force in the universe, right here in this group. And when we come together, look, we're right here at the precipice of this man-child anointing and the bride's anointing before we go into the wilderness. We need to understand the power that we have as Christians, as believers. Let me put it that way. I hate to use that word Christian because it's been distorted over the years. We're believers in Christ. We're disciples of Christ in this disciple. Remember when, has any ever sweated any blood yet? I hadn't. I'll be honest with you, I hadn't sweated any blood. Broke a sweat one time. That's it. I'm just as guilty of not praying like I should for the people around me and the people in this fellowship and the people in the local fellowship. I can tell you this much. I'll say this much. If we pray, if everybody in here prays for each other and just lift up the outreach fellowship or just lift up the chosen people of God, not a one of them would fall. That's the power that God has made available to us. He has the resurrection power that he's made available to all of us. He says, finally, in Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord. Well, how strong is that? Well, how strong is the Lord? Ooh, glory to God. My. And in the strength of his might. Ooh, my. Y'all getting a picture here of what kind of a force that this group is, that we are individually, and how much more of a force we are together. And somebody, when somebody is stumbling, and we do this, I don't get me wrong, we do this. But this, we should be praying for everybody where they won't stumble. I'm just saying. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother. I'll let you have the podium.
Thanks, Michael. On I think it's Sunday morning or Monday morning, I'm not sure. The Lord gave me a vision on He called me, give me a vision. What I understand of this was I'm too centered, self-centered in my praying. I want to grow myself. I want to pray for myself for growing in the Lord. And the Lord just shows me as you have to pray more for other people as well as not just a little bit. Everybody's in a war. Everybody needs, all of us needs somebody else to pray with for you and for you to get in a fight to stand on a word and keep in a word. So I'm confessing that I'm praying too little too for all my brethren, and I need to pray more for them. Just confess that, and thank you.
I heard some of that. Julie, help me.
Well, Joe, thanks for sharing that. I wouldn't be too hard on yourself though, because I know sometimes what the Lord has shown me too is like, I know I have to get my heart right first when I pray. You know, it's not like, I don't know if he was saying you're too self-centered all the time, but we do need to be praying for one another. And but I need to make sure my heart's right first with God before I can start praying for somebody else. And I know a lot of times when I pray anything for myself, I include the bride when I pray for that. Like I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I cover the bride with the blood of Jesus. I cover the man child with the blood of Jesus. I cover Donald Trump and the alliance in the blood of Jesus. And I pray that, you know, they're successful and that God is able to make all of us stand. You know, where we're weak, that he'll help us and he'll gird us up, you know, whatever it is. So I try to first make sure my heart's right. And then I pray for myself, the things in the scriptures as I'm reading the word, I pray those things I see I need. And when I see something about, you know, unity, love, spirit, for the body to earnestly love one another, I pray that for myself, that I would love my brothers and sisters and be patient and kind and meek and gentle with everybody and long suffering with everybody. And I pray that they're all that way. You know, I pray that all the body is that way, because we all have to love one another. And it's not always, you know, there's some people that, you know, aren't the easiest to, and I'm not speaking about anyone particular or anything like that. It's like, you know, we're all different and, you know, we might get on each other's nerves sometimes, but we still have to love that person. And be long suffering, and we're all learning to stay on our crosses and die to the flesh and all that kind of stuff. But I would just encourage you, don't let the enemy condemn you that you're all self-centered and blah, 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 blah. Cause I'm sure you do pray for the body. We all need to be praying for the body, but that's just something I started doing. When I would pray something for myself in the scriptures, I would just start including the bride, in general, or if I see something that, maybe I'm struggling and it's like, well, surely I can't be the only one struggling in this. And Lord, I would lift up everyone who's struggling with this particular issue, that Lord, you would strengthen them in that, or you would show them where they need to repent in this too, or, you know, whatever. It's kind of just inclusive. I just try to make it inclusive when I see things in the scriptures that I want for myself, that I will pray that for the bride as well. Amen. Thanks for letting me share that.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. One thing I did want to mention. I'll get everybody here in just a second. I want to just put this out there. I want to show you a New Testament demonstration of the power of God at work. Okay. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken in which they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. and they all went out and spoke in tongues, but they spoke in the language that everybody out there understood what they were talking about. When they came together and said in one accord, well, what's one accord? We're all coming in the Spirit of Christ up here and together. And when we come in here in the Spirit of Christ and not self, guess what happens? It's going to shake somebody's building, Lord God. That's what's going to happen. And I'm just using that metaphorically. Go ahead, Rayon and Claire.
I just wanted to share something because we're talking about prayer, and this happened to me about a few weeks ago. It feels like we've almost not stopped praying for almost 2 months. Like we seem to be praying every hour, and that's wonderful. But some of you know and some of you don't know, I often, well, not often enough, but I go away sometimes where Rian, you know, lets me go away for the weekend and I get to fill up on Jesus and I get to just, you know, pray. And it's as much as it's a selfish thing, it's not, because I can't pour from an empty cup. So when I come home, everyone's really happy to see me and I'm really happy to see them and that sort of thing, right? So that's like a gentle rhythm in our family that happens. But the last time I went away, I was talking to the Lord and he had said, yes, you come, my love, come.
Oh man, get out of here, devil. In the name of Jesus. You go from Rian and Claire's communications in the name of Jesus right now. You leave their internet connection alone in Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Pray for whoever needed it at that point. And it was a whole, you know, it was a whole weekend that I don't often get, but how the Lord built me up in that and what a privilege it was to pray for other people and how, oh, I don't know, just when you, I looked at those things on my list and they were almost trivial. And the Lord did give me a word and a song and everything. So he did give me such beautiful personal revelations. But what he was saying is, I see your heart, and that's what's beautiful. You know, like you want to be perfected. You want every little spot and blemish to be gone. And that's good. And we must always strive for that. But you can be praying for other people while you're being sanctified. You don't have to wait until you get to that hundredfold glory and then turn around behind you and go, I'll pray for you now, suckers. Like we've got to do it as we go along, right?
You just had to say it, didn't you? That was awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. You did cut out there, Rian or Claire, for about, oh, I don't know, maybe about a minute, maybe. But that's all. We got the gist of everything. It was awesome. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray for Joe. What's on my mind, Father? I thank you, Lord, for giving Joe a vision and pulling his heart toward you. Thank you for the strength that you are given him, that you have given him. Thank you for the seeing and the vision that you've given him, Lord. And I would just ask that you would open up his eyes and show him the things that you want prayed for the rest of the body. Just open up his eyes and let him see. Focus him in on what you would have him to intercede for and bring forth into reality within us as a group. And that you would show him each one of our particular needs, Lord. And that you would build him up, strengthen him, and usher him into your presence And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the intercession heart that you've given him. Thank you for ministering to his need as he ministers to the needs of others. Thank you for showing him your heart. And Lord, we love you and we thank you that you provide for each and every one of us, seeing that you give us specifically for the body. And give us grace to live up to that vision and to intercede, to pray and to bring about what you show us into reality through the faith that you give us. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just bless Joe in this time. We bless the rest of the body, Lord, to accomplish the same thing in you, just to see what you have that you want to minister to each one. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given to guide us through this process, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Joe. Lord, give him some more dreams, too. Some good dreams about what's fixing to happen. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, when we were going to talk about prayer, I usually go to the first mention. And I just wrote prayer, and then I got a prayer out of 2 Samuel 8, 27 to 29. It's about our kingdom that we have and how it's going to continue forever. That's when God promised King David a continual kingdom for him. But, you know, that's where the word prayer is first mentioned. Not by all means the word pray, but the first place it was mentioned, I think, was way back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, where it says, you know, the lineage is Adam, Seth, and then Enosh. And it was when this child Enosh was born, Seth's son, that's when people started to call upon the name of the Lord. And I thought about that verse, because that's how it says it, call upon the name of the Lord. What could they have possibly known about the name of the Lord way back then? You know, there was only four chapters and I don't think anyone was writing it down, you know. So I just took the amount of years and put them together, 235 years after creation of Adam and Eve, people started to call upon the name of the Lord. It took them so long, you know. But I think it's largely because God actually showed himself in the presence of man a lot. You know, he showed himself to Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, you know, perhaps even Seth. And, you know, they had an eyewitness there, their great-grandfather, Adam. He was still around while some of these people were still around after 235 years. And that's the first mention, you know. So today, the name of the Lord for us means a whole different thing, I think, because it's that name called the Word of God that we abide in. And of course, the Word of God is the Spirit of God, and it's his life. So we have a closer tie with God because of the sacrifice and a new life. And we have the Spirit in us. You know, they were waiting for this for so long. But, you know, I thank Pat for that prayer, you know, because he gave me some ideas on what I could put on my prayer list, too, you know. I listen intently to some of these things, you know, to this prayer is a ministry that, you know, you pray for someone, you minister to people, to their needs. And in turn, God will minister to your needs. So it's a really kind of nice thing to do. It's a loving thing to do for your fellow members in the body of Christ. And there's a lot of things you can think to pray about. You know, when you pray, verses come to mind when you're praying, you know, of future happenings or maybe past happenings that apply now. You can move into praying into tongues. You know, this is what happens during my prayer times. You know, I just was listing a few ideas on just so you can have ideas, because sometimes there are those days where you're just like you're stymied and you're just trying to go, well, what am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to get started on this prayer time? You know, and you know, the thoughts that come to you, the experiences you had in your life that come into your mind, you can pray for some of these things. Old friends, you know, family members, the brethren, you know. I don't know about you guys, but I have a secret list of people here. There's everybody's name here, and your faces really do help. You know, I have everyone's list. I've got lists from the past, you know. I'm just trying to still figure out who this, some of these people are, you know, like, who's Amber and Albert? I don't know who these, Jackie and, you know, there's Chad and, you know, there's Wade and Jeanette. I know some people remember Wade and Jeanette, you know, and, you know, there's people we miss, you know. Sometimes, you know, we had some people's spouses come on for a while too, you know, and you get to remember those names too, and you mention them. And, you know, there's things that the brethren asked for. They made it known to you. Like, how much more information do you need, you know? And of course, just in your time of prayer, you know, you can remember some of these people, and you remember the faces and the conference calls and the names, and the Lord will bring them to your mind. Some people are sometimes very distressed too, and you can remember these people. You can pray for things mentioned in the Wednesday and Sunday nights Bible studies. They even ask you to pray. They ask you to pray there. And your personal things that you're going through. You know, some of you might be going through some real long things, you know. And you know, I mentioned that I had my little prayer book, you know, and sometimes, you know, you just there's much more than this that I have. I got a bunch of papers set out. Actually, Michael, not too long ago, maybe last month, gave me a pretty good idea just mentioning it on here. Take a pad and paper with you, a pad and pen with you while you're praying, because you never know what might go on. And you know, it's, you know, on the back of the cover here, I have prayer warrior. That's when I first got the book, you know. I went to the dollar store and picked this up, and I'm going to put it to some good use here. And, you know, it's and some of this stuff I put in today because of the talk I had with God today, you know, that you're entering into this grace place, you know. So I'm talking about those days when you need some assistance to get into the prayer exercise, you know. You got to do warm-ups. You know, it's like you go to the gym when you used to do warm-ups. And so I used to go to the gym, should have stayed maybe, but I'm just getting this real big muscle around my midsection. So you got to do warm-ups, you know. You got to remember that you're getting into a place of grace here. And you know what that grace is. It's all you can be in Christ. And of course, grace is is because of his fullness, we all received grace upon grace. And that's where you're entering, not only for prayer, but for praise and worship and thanksgiving for God. It's an altar of grace you're entering into here. And I'm sure you all know this. And, you need a kickstart, I guess, because there's those days where you're just down in the dumps and you don't know what to do. You know, I took some of Andrew Murray's stuff. You know, you can go right on YouTube, put in Andrew Murray, and someone will read his book for you. You don't even have to read it. And he was talking about prayer in one of the chapters, you know, so, you know, it gave all the chapters. Someone read the book, every single chapter of this Andrew Murray book. I can't remember the title. Don't need the title. Just have to know the stuff on the inside. At least a few things, you know. And he would get into this exercise of the warm up and say stuff like, you know, this helps me. I'm not saying I follow it in order of the pages here, you know. I sometimes know what it says there, but, you know, I write things like, for those days, you know, when you're, what's going on, Lord? I don't know what to pray. I'm lost here, you know. And, you know, it's got some real good, here it is, quotes from him. I cannot pray as I want. Do I know what prayer is? Question mark, you know. Do I know what it is to take, to meet with the great God? Do I know how to take hold of God and hold him fast? You know, it's kind of like a different type of English. They don't talk this way now. Do I know how to take hold of his strengths? He's sharing his spirit with you. He's giving you of his spirit, the fruits of the spirit. Do I know the full fellowship and communion of God? What is it? You know, and it's just a summary of things. He gave some verses there out of Romans 8:22. Sometimes, you know, I'll just read 8:22, or I might read 8:26 and 27 of Romans. And then, of course, if I'm really duped, I'll read from 20 to 27. It's kind of like a warm-up to get you into the mood of praying. You know, I often wondered how people do this, you know, like, what is the system for you, you know? So I wrote down some of these ideas, you know, from just would be, you know, another idea, you know, is after you do your warm-ups, you can't hide anything from God. So you make sure you do your confession of your sins. And if you don't even know if it's sin or not, you know, I'm not, you know, like, you can go through a day there where you think you sinned, you know, you entertained a thought or a temptation, but you had victory over it because you cast it down. So it doesn't count. So, you know, sometimes you might even think you have that as a sin, but you really don't. And then you just go, well, Lord, I just thank you for the victory, for helping me cast that down today, you know. And I may have lost my temper a little bit, but, you know, Lord, you got to still confess your sin. You got, you know, because I listened to the shepherd of Hermas, you know, he was always confessing his sins. And then the person in his dream said, don't always confess, just confess your sins to us, but ask for righteousness too, you know. So, and you got to take time in this. You got to take some time in approaching that, you know. And, you know, there's just a lot of these things that I have in here. Always, you know, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He knows everything that goes on, you know. He tells you to begin to sit still until you realize the holy presence of the Lord. You know, don't call it a feeling, because some people don't like that word, feelings. You know, you don't, it's not a feeling, it's the holy presence of the Lord. This is kind of a humbleness, to set Jesus's yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly. If anyone knew how to pray, it was Jesus. And, you know, so I, you know, and then somewhere in your prayer, you can just even ask that when you got a brother or a family member coming to you, you know, and they're all phased out of control, you know, and they don't know what to do. Just pray about, let's just say, well, let's just pray. That's Michael saying that when he used to get his phone calls from his family all the time. Well, let's just pray. And then they start phoning. But, you know, and get some verses in there that, you know, like, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, sometimes you just have to remember where you're seated, man. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's settled. It's supposed to be settled for you too, you know. I know, because there's this little child going again in me, you know. Yeah, I'm seated in heavenly places, but Lord, come on now. Give me a sign. Give me something here that I should pray for. Give me something that I should say. So I'm gonna just end it right now. So I've always, we've talked about prayer a few times, but I've always tried to jot something down and just have some sort of course, have some sort of a semblance of how do you get into this? You gotta do the warm-ups, you gotta do the confession, you gotta ask for righteousness. You know, we're supposed to live, the righteous shall live by faith. You know, so you got to ask for this righteousness, you know, unless you want the other stuff. And I don't think anybody wants the opposite of righteousness. You have a fellowship here when you come into God too. There's a fellowship, there's a communion, there's a concord, there's a portion you have here, and there's only one good portion, and that's a believer. And of course, there's an agreement with your sanctuary, and you know, you have a sanctuary, you have an altar, you have a temple, you have a lamp. He wants it to burn brighter. You know, for some of us, you know, you were smoking flax and he had to reignite you as a light. So be lit. The Lord wants to share his glory with you, and that's his spirit. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you so much. Hey, David's iPhone. Is that you, David Timmerchuk? You and Elena?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, glory to God. How you doing, brother?
Oh, Michael, I am blessed. today, yesterday, like, we were thinking, and I was like, I had a truck, it was a diesel truck, and I was like, and God put on my mind, sell the truck and get yourself a reliable SUV and use the rest of the money to cover up credit cards. So that way we can get payments out of our way.
Awesome.
And yesterday my boss is like, hey, why don't you bring your truck here? I'll take a look at it. I'll give you a price. And if you like it, I'll buy it from you. Since he's a dealer. And I bring it this morning. And I had a check by the end of the day. And right now I'm driving home in the SUV that God sent. And then it's just everything laid into place. And it's just amazing.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is awesome, David. Well, it sounds like your spirits are lifted way up above. Praise the Lord.
Praise God for sure.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's awesome. Whew, Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Praise the Lord forevermore. Okay, anyone else?
How come he doesn't answer fast like that for all our prayer requests? You know, I was like, David asked that one day, the next day, You're getting your prayer answered immediately. I'm just blown away. Wow, that's awesome.
He loves David more than he loves you, Judy. That's
apparently. I guess that's it. I guess that's no. it. You know, Daddy loves you better, David. So no. That's okay. No, I'm so happy for you. That's a wowzer. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Carol, go ahead.
I think mine is a praise report and my meditation on prayer. What kept coming to me, and it's aligned with this praise report, is you will know my truth and my truth will set you free. And I think that goes with the power that you were talking about, Michael, the authority, the vulnerability to ask for prayer and to be bold and hold that authority that he has given us. And so I had a meeting. I think you guys know a little bit about my job. It was like kind of in jeopardy. My probation was about to be terminated. My last meeting with my boss, which was about 10 days ago, he was preparing me that my probation period would not be extended, that probably by November I would be losing my job because I just can't go fast enough for them, right? And I did all kinds of things to try, and I just kept getting more stressed and being delivered of the stress and the prayers. And anyway, it's phenomenal what happened. I met with my boss today, and I think I want to cry because I don't know how to put this into words, but I was shocked actually too. When he showed me my numbers, I didn't just double. I went above the top people in the company. I don't even know how I did that except by prayer and believing in God. And he looked at the numbers with me and he said, you're not like sacrificing the quality to the customers though, are you, Carol? He was so afraid that the speed I'm going at didn't make any sense, thought you're not sacrificing the service to the customer. I go, no. I said, so I think my prayer now is how I know God wants this man. I just know it. So I need more wisdom on how I respond, because right now he said, let me just say that I put a halt on you being fired. That's the first thing he said to me. The second thing he said is, I'd like to see you sustain this. And I said, oh, that's going to be easy because, you know, I really do have God. And I said, I've joined a support group. I initially called it that, my anxiety support group. But I was bold enough to say today, I said, it's actually a Christian group of people that I've joined. And I said, I continue with them. So I said, you know, wherever I go, I know I'm going to go out with the spirit of excellence. And that's all I said. But he was really like pinching himself. And then because he's gone to bat for me. I just want you to know that. So I know that's God working this man, because I really shouldn't still be in that company because I can't reach those numbers. Or sorry, I couldn't reach those numbers no matter how hard I try. So this is quite the story. And his name is Sylvain. And I really believe God wants me to keep witnessing to this man. But to also thank him, which I did, to thank him for going to bat for me. And, you know, I said, you know, regardless of what happens, if I go out, I'm going to go out with doing everything I can to give thanks to you and this company, you know, for just working with me through this. So that's it. It's phenomenal what's going on right now. So thank you guys. And yes, the power and the authority to ask and to believe, but to know what the truth is, because there's that deliverance of knowing. God said, you know, if you know what I have said, Carol, about you, and you claim it, it's going to happen. And that's what I'm going with. So that vigilance. So pay attention. What is your thought? What just happened that shifted you? And take authority, gag that enemy, bind him, and cut his head off and cast him back to the pit of hell. That's all I'm doing. So yes, in warfare and praise all day. So thank you. I'm gonna mute myself now and bless you all.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Kara. Yeah, he loves you too, Kara. Amen. Go ahead, Rhea.
Okay, we have a little bit of a...
Uh-oh. What?
I don't know what that was. That didn't work. So my little pumpkin, Tabby, she woke up on Wednesday, I think, yeah, Wednesday, and was doing her maths, and then she, like, turned around. She had an itch on her shoulder, and... that was it. Like, now she's not been able to move her head very much since then. So we prayed for her. Like, I was alone with the kids at home, so I prayed for her. And then we were on our way to tennis, and so I stopped in at Rian's work, and he came out.
Get out of their communications in the name of Jesus. Quit freezing their internets up in Jesus' name. We command you to be loosed in Jesus' name. We command that internet to come back out right now in Jesus' name.
Did we freeze again?
Okay, we missed a lot of that because you froze up.
Oh, okay.
Because you're on twice.
We put it on twice because this one keeps on, the computer keeps on going. I'm going off.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Try again.
Yeah.
Tabitha hurt her neck because she tried to scratch an itchy spot on her neck. And we prayed and we've laid hands on her, but she has asked if everyone at GBM could pray for her because she still can't really move her neck. And it's been 2 days and she's sore, but we've done nothing except pray and expect a good report because... she's not God.
Tabitha, you ready to get here?
Yes.
Okay. Rhea, put your hand on her neck because she's fixing to get it. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command all uncomfort to go from her. In the name of Jesus, I command complete healing in her neck, shoulders. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that Tabitha is completely free of any kind of pain, discomfort at all in her neck. Now, I want you to do your neck like this. No. There you go. Praise God, it's gone, isn't it?
Thank you very much, Uncle Michael.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You are healed, Tabitha. Tabitha, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Missy. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know, for like maybe a month now, I've been having problems with getting comfortable and all to sleep. And it's gotten, I asked for prayer for it, and it's pretty well, it's I'm healed. And today I had to, I was sitting for quite a while and now I have like stiffness and soreness, like in my lower back and down through into my legs, and it's like achy. And that's, I'm having a hard time sitting here, you know, I'm squirming and all, and trying to find comfortable spots, how to sit and everything. And I just don't receive this, and I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to have a good night's rest, and I'm not going to have any issues in the name of Jesus. And I just cast down the attack of the enemy on me in the name of Jesus. And I command all my nerves and my muscles and everything. I command all the pain to go in the name of Jesus. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. And thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. We all believe with Missy that she is completely healed in the name of Jesus. Devil, you pack your bags and go, and don't you never, ever come back in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, go down and get you a bath in that fire down there somewhere.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know, like, the enemy was trying to get me in my works, you know, to put this extra memory foam pad on the bed. And I'm like, no, I'm healed. I'm going to get a good night's rest, you know, because I struggled with it a little bit while I was down in Tennessee, getting comfortable to sleep and everything. I was tempted to do that. And I'm like, no, and I didn't. And I've been able to sleep fine, you know, so it's now like the enemy's attacking me, but he's lost, you know, and he's defeated, and I have no more aches and pains and soreness or and anything that the enemy tries to put on me. It's just lies. So thank you, Lord. So amen. Thank you, Lord. You're muted. You were muted, Michael.
I knew it. All right. Is there anything in prayer that God cannot do? That's not a trick question, by the way. Yeah, Nick.
He can't. There's nothing he can do.
There's nothing he can't do or can do?
He can't.
Okay. Yes, he can do about anything, but one thing he cannot do is go against his word. That was a trick question. All right. He's not going to go against his word, but he will answer your prayers if it's in his will. And it's always in his will if it lines up with the word of God. You know, it's such an awesome time to watch these prayers that we pray, and people come back with these wonderful testimonies, awesome testimonies. It's just so awesome. Make me happy, happy, happy to know that God is answering our prayer. There was a time we struggled, you know. And all of those people that Andrew mentioned, I remember every one of them. Jackie, Chad, and Albert, and all of those people. I remember a lot more than that, too. Matter of fact, I probably got most of them in my phone claim contact list. Yeah, Rio.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me.
Yes, sir.
I want to just share, and I suppose lots of you know this already, but it's just something that I was just reminded of now, is that how our prayer changed when we started realizing or knowing or come to the understanding of the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we started changing the way we prayed, because growing up and, you know, going to apostate church, it was a very different kind of praying until you come to that realization. Because Jesus said, when he taught the disciples to pray, he started off and he said, "Our Father who is in heaven." And he did that deliberately. He said, that's how you start. He says he didn't teach them to pray to him. He taught them to pray to the Father, just like he prayed. And when I realized the reason he did that is because if you have Christ in you, you don't pray then to yourself, you pray to God. And that changes the way you pray completely, because then you're praying directly to the Father, yes, but you're also praying in an authority, because you realize it's not me that's praying, it's Christ in me that's praying. He's saying, pray like I prayed, meaning pray as if I am praying. And then you pray in authority. Then you're not, and then you think of, well, how did Jesus pray? He didn't ask God for anything. He commanded things. He knew the authority that he had that was given to him when he came here. So he's not going to ask for something that's already been given. He just, obviously in a kind, loving way, he said, he just commanded things. He spoke in authority. That's praying in the name of Jesus, which is that nature, character, and authority. And when we got to that realization, it completely changed everything for us. Everything. Yes, we thank Jesus often when we pray, but we don't ask him for it, if you know what I mean. It's not to be disrespectful. And it's also because we're out of that oneness doctrine as well. But then when you pray in authority and you're commanding things, and it's not yourself, it's Christ in you, then the only thing left after that to do is to praise him, praise God, and thank him, which is what Jesus taught us as well. So I just thought I'd drop that in there again, and maybe as a reminder, or it's just, yeah, that was just awesome.
Thank you, Rian, for bringing that out. Yes, that's true. That's so true. We don't pray to Jesus, we pray to the Father. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, Dave, go ahead, Dave Nelson.
I'm sorry, I was just arranging my monitor.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, yes, Rian, go ahead. Did you have your hand up, Rian?
Yeah.
I did. I just lost myself for a minute, but not really, like, just on the screen. I couldn't see where I was on the screen.
I found you.
My son really wants me to share this. This is what happens when the kids hear everything in the background during daylight time. He was building a puzzle and he missed a piece. So I prayed with him, like really about 20 minutes ago. I just said, oh Lord, please show us where that puzzle piece is. And the next box he picked up had that puzzle piece in. And he wants this to be known as a praise report, but he doesn't want to say it. So mommy needs to say it.
Praise the Lord for God finding all our puzzle pieces.
He also knows how important it is in this family to have every single puzzle piece there.
They must be accounted for.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mark. All right, Carol, go ahead.
Here's another, I guess, another praise report about the power of prayer. I think it was about a week ago. I told you guys that the government was about to release all of the nurses of Quebec and was going to suspend their license so that they can't go anywhere else because they were saying no to the vaccine. And that day I brought it in prayer to you guys. And within 48 hours, the government postponed firing the nurses. So it's been put off to another month, which means we need to keep praying again and continue to pray for those that have said no to the vaccination and the passport and just standing strong. And especially the nurses, there's just something, I have such a heart for them. They've been in the front line and they're taking a stand. And something about Marilyn, your prayer before, I think they might fit in that category of people that are suffering if they don't know the Lord, of course. Those that know the Lord will suffer in a different way. So yeah, let's just keep praying for the various groups that God puts on our heart. So there it is. It's been postponed. They haven't been fired. So that's a beautiful story. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. Lord, we ask that you answer this back prayer, that you would suspend all of that garbage in the name of Jesus, that there would not be any, you got to take the jab kind of law out there for anybody. That's crazy. Nobody wants to take that silly thing. It's full of poison. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe all that's fixing to come to an end, it looks like. There's too much testimonies out there, lab technicians looking at that stuff, and it's nasty stuff. Go ahead, Pat.
Thank you, Father, for raising up the holy opposition, the humble opposition, and just the refusal to do that which is contrary to your word, contrary to your spirit, contrary to the convictions that you've given us. We thank you for that. We just bless these people that are under, that are on the front lines facing these things, Lord. Strengthen them and give them resolve, but give them peace and comfort, knowing that they are doing the right thing. And Lord, we just praise you for opening up the eyes of those in society. And Lord, just raise up your people, raise up your awareness that it would bless all those and draw those that are seeking answers to you and to your truth, to your son. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I was just wanted to say something that Rayon mentioned, and it kind of lined up with what the Lord kind of reiterated the other day with me, and the thought came to me. It was kind of a very simple thought that, and I kind of, when I started thinking about it, I realized it's the major difference between the old covenant relationship with God and the new covenant relationship with God. And the old covenant relationship with God was basically God with us, and the new covenant relationship is God in us. And the example that the Lord gave me was that of Solomon, that Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom, and he used what God gave him. But he also, the example of his life is that through this wisdom and this awareness that God had given him, he didn't have the power to resist those desires, those things within him that drew him away from God. And so even though he was the scripture says he was the wisest man who ever lived, God gave him that wisdom. In other words, he took it and he placed it in Solomon and gave it to him to use. And he ultimately turned away from God. He disobeyed what God told him about wives and accumulated over 1,000 wives and concubines and whatever. And those wives soon led his heart away from God. So he destroyed his life by God giving him that wisdom, and he ended up destroying his life through the process. However, the difference in the new covenant relationship is that God is willing to give us that wisdom in a sense, but he's not giving us the wisdom, he's giving us Jesus. who was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and every other thing required to live holy in Christ, you know, holy to God. And so, even though it's kind of a subtle difference, but it really explained, you know, the difference between the old covenant relationship and the new. And very simply, it's not God with us, but God in us. And so it was just, I don't know, it just kind of went along with what Rihanna was talking about there, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So subtle difference, I guess. Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, this has a bit on what Pat was saying there. Even though it's God's wisdom, you know, you get this Ethiopian guy in the book of Acts, some 900 years later after that happened, and they still sent envoys from Ethiopia to Israel. And he got a meeting up with Apostle Philip, and I'm sure he explained to him of the baptism, because he said, look, there's water here. So, and he explained to him the power of the Holy Spirit, because, you know, when a guy disappears, you know, you see the Holy Spirit in action. So he had a lot of stuff to take back to Ethiopia with him, and they were persistent. I think maybe to me it sounded like year by year they would send someone to see if there's any wisdom still there. And I just thought about that right now. And actually, I thought about it when I was reading the book of Acts, and he reminded me about that when he was mentioned, Solomon. So God's wisdom is everlasting. You know, it's today too. Praise God.
How many French fries are in that vacuum cleaner? Mariana. Sounds like you've been vacuuming in the car with a bunch of kids. There are two of them anyway. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. All right, who's next? Yeah,
Benita. Yeah, just as a matter of prayer, my husband sent me a link to a message from John Piper. He's a pastor in Minneapolis. He's got a pretty big congregation. Some of you probably have heard of him. But I was just reading, I thought he would kind of be on the same page as us, and say not to get vaccinated, but the first paragraph in his message is, my aim in this article is to encourage Christians to be vaccinated. If they can do so with a good conscience and judicious medical warrant. And I was just like, what? I mean, he's just, this article is about not feeling like you have to be, the whole article is about you don't have to not get vaccinated because you feel like you're going to be supporting the left or, you know, the other side. That's not a reason not to get vaccinated. You're free. You can get vaccinated, even if it looks like it's from the other side, but you're free to do it and you need to get vaccinated. The whole article is quite interesting. So I was just, you know, just thinking about praying for his congregation that they would, I don't know, have wisdom individually in Christ and not as a part of that, what he's saying. It just brought back that vision that David had mentioned, where somebody had a vision where they were, all the pastors were in a room and they were being shown a movie of, you know, how they need to go out and tell everybody to take the mark of the beast, and that vision that he had, and it just brought that vision back in my eyes. I'm like, oh my gosh, there it is right there. So just to pray for him and the congregation and all those other pastors out there that are going down that path.
Amen. Did you want to do that, Pat?
I sure do. I want some of that. Father, I just ask you, Lord, just to reveal to his congregation the nakedness that he's standing in right now, the destitution of believing the word of God. Lord, we just ask that you use this time. We thank you that you raise up and you allow for these to be exposed before you, Lord. We also pray, Lord, that you would grant him repentance, that you would open up his eyes. We bind the spirit of religion in his life. We bind the spirit of, the stupidity in his life. We ask you, Lord, just to open up his eyes and shine, convict him of the need to lead his congregation in the truth of your word, Lord. Totally, easily, half of every day that you spent on in your ministry, you were healing people. And the other half, you were casting out demons. Lord, I just pray that you would open up that pastor's eyes to his own particular negligence and bring it to his attention through his congregation, Lord. I don't know how you would do that, but Lord, you have the ability to turn people's hearts, even by the chastisement that you might bring through children, Lord. So I would thank you, Lord, that you are able to tear down that deception in their lives. Lord, just strengthen the congregation and give them strength to reach out and grab your word. Fill them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and allow your righteousness to reign in that situation. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, bring these apostate preachers down. That's what's going to happen. They're going to bring them down. This pandemic's going to, when it goes through, those people will be castigated. They can't walk the streets because of the anger is going to be against them. Yeah, what's the title, Judy? I was going to ask that too. One that y'all are working on? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. Oh, for goodness sake. I'm gonna kick you out. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about on prayer? Yeah, well.
No, I just wanted to, I didn't hear you properly, Michael. You were saying they won't be able to walk the streets because there'll be anger against him. Were you referring to the pastors now that is supporting the vaccine, that they'll be, when this comes out, they won't be able there'll be anger against them, or was it some, what did you say it like that?
Yeah. Well, that's what this this tribulation is all about, is to separate God's people from these apostate churches like that. And it's going to be an awesome time. That's why we have to be ready, right? We've got to know what to do. We have to have the power of God with us. We have to have the love of God in our hearts for them too, because you're going to see some fine looking people. I'm telling you, it's going to be tatted up with piercings all over. But they're going to be loving Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else on prayer? How many of you know there's three types of prayer? David talks about it a lot. Well, not a lot, but he talks about it. Three types of prayer. Prayer of importunity. The prayer of faith. And then the prayer when you pray with somebody. I forget, what do they call that? What do you call that?
Prayer of agreement.
Prayer of agreement. Thank you, Julie. Prayer of agreement. That's the most powerful. That's the most powerful. So you can see right here that we have all this power, and God listens whenever we pray. He listens and he answers. It looks like he answers pretty quick too. Go ahead, Geneva.
Something just quick. Hold on a second. Okay. I had a dream last night, which was encouraging. It's always good when you have an encouraging dream. I had a dream that I was running, and all of my friends that like I went to high school with and are still friends with today. I don't talk to them very often, but you know, maybe like when I go back in town or whatever for Thanksgiving or something like that, you know, we might like meet up and go get some food or something. But anyways, I had a dream that I was running this race, and I've always my whole life like ran or whatever. I'm not like great at it, but you know, I can do like 2 miles and be okay. But anyways, in the dream I was running, and I was flying. Like I was running through the fields, and I was flying through, and I was just like, I got on the track and I was running around the track, and I had so much energy, and just I felt so healthy. And I remember everyone was behind me, and everybody was just like lagging, and they're way far back, and everyone was just being so held down. And I came across to the finish line, and I just breezed right through, and I was like, man, I was like, I'm ready to keep going again. Let's keep going. And anyways, it was an encouraging dream. I woke up and I felt energized, and like today, like I feel like I was really productive. I did a lot, and I don't know, like I've been praying a lot and claiming the Lord's promises, you know, all throughout this pregnancy and stuff, and just thanking God, you know, that we're not bound by the curse, and just thanking the Lord for his complete healing and everything he's going to do for me. And anyways, it was just an encouraging dream. And I felt really, I was thankful for it.
Amen. We bless Geneva and the baby. We bless Morgan. We bless this whole family. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. She is ahead of the crowd. Go with it, girl. Amen. Thank you, Father. The prayer of importunity is the prayer where you pray and you pray and you pray until God gives you the faith to believe it's going to come to pass. The prayer of faith is when you pray and believe the first time. The prayer of agreement, of course, is when all of us come together and we believe for the same thing. We pray and we believe for the same thing. That's the most powerful. And the next, of course, is the prayer of faith, where you believe. Pray and you believe. And the least of those is the prayer of importunity, where you pray and pray and pray until God moves, you know, and puts that faith in you. Okay, anybody else? Monroe, how you doing, brother? All right. Praise God. Praise God. The only time I was in Africa was back in the 60s, and I rode camels. North Africa. Rode donkeys too. All right, let's, anybody else before we close out? What are y'all putting in there? Mike, Greg, quit. That's right. Thank you, Dave. Well, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you for this praying and believing once because it has been an awesome time. We've had a very good group tonight. Not that we all don't always. We always have a good group. But it's been an exceptionally long group tonight. It's been awesome, Lord. And we praise you for it. And I hope, Lord, and I pray that everybody got something out of this talking about praying and what it is to pray and what we should believe. And Lord, we don't limit you at all. You used to put you in a box, you know. Say, well, I don't think God's interested in that particular thing, but Lord, we're going to pull you out all the time. There ain't nothing that you can't do for us in any and every circumstance, Lord. We believe for you. We believe you over and above what we see with our eyes or we hear with our ears. And we praise you, Father, for being our God. You're an awesome God. All of the testimonies we got tonight, it was just awesome, Lord. We thank you so much for answering these prayers. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing down this deep state in the government and in the church. And Lord, we know that you're going to use the pandemics to separate God's people from these apostate churches. And Lord, we thank you for doing that. And Lord, just prepare our hearts to get ready for this great awakening that's fixing to take place in the world. And I ask for provisions for everyone here that's going to be needed in the days to come. Lord, place it in our hearts to believe that no make any difference if Walmart shelves are completely bare. Makes no difference whether Kroger shelves are completely bare. Makes no difference whether any of them are completely bare. Our shelves are always, always full because we know that you want us to take care of the people, your people out there. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us the faith to believe that when we go back there to get a can of beans, that can of beans is going to be there, whether we bought it or not. We thank you for it, Father. And I just use that, Lord. You know what I'm talking about. And I thank you, Lord, that when we open the refrigerator, there's going to be meat in the refrigerator. Not only that, there's going to be milk. There's going to be heart. There's going to be all the things that we need. And I thank you, Lord, we're going to be just like the Israelites going out into the wilderness. 40 years without new shoes. Didn't need them. I had new shoes every day. 40 years for a new polo shirt. We thank you for it, Father. That's going to be like that every day. New blue jeans every day. We praise you, Father, for that too, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that our bodies are going to be completely rejuvenated, restored, and we're not going to have any kind of lack whatsoever. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God for, free manna every day. That's right. Glory to God. We thank you for it, Father. I just ask you this, Lord, that you allow one time, I'm asking this in the name of Jesus, that you allow one time for all of this month right here to come together and have a meeting in the natural. In Jesus' mighty name. I got some necks I want to hug. Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you for the love that you placed in our heart for each and every one of my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed. Yeah. We got, let me set this off.